Well, the eclipse is over. Hopefully you were able to see it, but if not, you can listen into my tale about it. It was a lot of fun, a lot of adventure. There was everything from snow to sunshine, clear skies, clouds, going into Canada, going all over, and a lot of driving, especially on eclipse day. We're going to cover a lot, but it's going to be a fun episode. Please, as always, like and subscribe. Tell your friends about it. We do have a contest. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but once we hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we're going to be giving away an astro photo that I took of the North American Nebula, which is printed on metal. As we get closer to 1,000 subscribers, we'll talk more about the contest. I also want to thank Donna Harris, Scott Badger, Bill Griffith, and Bobby Marinoff for their spectacular images of the eclipse that are used in this video. Also, if you'd like to help the channel financially, you can always buy us a cup of coffee. The link for that is in the show notes. And we really just have a lot of fun stuff to cover in this episode, so sit back and enjoy.
Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm not an expert. I'm an amateur like you. I'm here to learn and here to teach. So let's enjoy the ride together. Carpe Noctem. Seize the night.
Welcome to the Astro Guy Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Zuhl. If you recall, we did two episodes about the eclipse before it happened. The first episode was about what you can expect to see and where to go. And the second episode went more into what to do to see the eclipse, different techniques, and how to photograph the eclipse, along with some other information. There's a lot of good information in those videos that pertain to any solar viewing, imaging, or any solar eclipse. So they're definitely worth taking a look at. As far as this eclipse went for me, I decided that instead of bringing a lot of equipment and worrying about where to set it up and not having power and things like that, I decided to take a low-key approach and really just make this a visual observation of a total solar eclipse. Our initial plan was to go to Buffalo, New York. So we booked a hotel in Buffalo right by the airport, and it was almost on the center line of the eclipse. So our thought was, we can watch the eclipse right from the parking lot, get on the road, and go home. Well, Mother Nature had some different plans, but let's talk about getting to Buffalo and everything else that happened. So we left our home early on Saturday morning before the eclipse and started driving. And as soon as we crossed the border into Pennsylvania, we started to get snow. And the snow got worse and worse. And we were getting snow squalls, and we actually stopped. We took a quick coffee break, and you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see what the snow was like as it was coming down. It was pretty bad. Anyway, as we made our way to New York State, the weather started to change, and the clouds began to dissipate. We could see some blue sky here and there. Still a long drive. We made our way along with virtually no traffic all the way to Buffalo, and it was great. Once we got to Buffalo, we checked into our hotel. Again, it was right next to the airport. Would have been a perfect spot had the weather held up in Buffalo, but as you can tell, it didn't. But while we were in Buffalo, we wanted to experience some of the local things that were there. So the first evening that we were there, we took a ride and went to Lake Erie just to see that. And that was just beautiful. Anytime you go to the Great Lakes, they're just amazing to see. We enjoyed some of the local food in Buffalo, particularly buffalo wings and beef on weck. And we went to Paula's Donuts, and these are all staples in the Buffalo area. We did get to experience that. I tried some local beers that were very good, including a beer that was made specifically for the eclipse. It was a dark IPA, something I've never had before. Anyway, after a nice evening in Buffalo and resting up in the hotel, on Sunday morning, it was a gorgeous, beautiful day. T-minus one to eclipse day. And not a cloud in the sky. And we left our hotel relatively early, about 8 o'clock in the morning. and we went out and stopped for breakfast and made our way up to Niagara Falls. And my wife and I had never been to Niagara Falls. It was something on our list, and we decided to go. And I am so glad we went. It was a gorgeous, beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. It was in the mid-50s Fahrenheit, the temperature. It was just a lovely early April day. We got to ride the Maid of the Mist at Niagara Falls. One of the things that I did was I asked one of the people who worked there, what's the best place to be on the boat to get the best view? And they said, bottom level, right in the front of the boat. He said, you're going to get wet, but it's going to be worth it. Well, he was right. The Maid of the Mist is a relatively short trip. It's only about 20 or 25 minutes long. You go past the American Falls, and then you get to see the Horseshoe Falls on the Canadian side. And it's just stunning. And you get pretty close to the falls. You definitely are going to get wet. I don't care where you are on that boat. You're getting wet. But they do give you ponchos. So we were, other than our hair and our faces, my glasses, we were pretty dry other than those things, fortunately. So after we were done with the Maid of the Mist, we made our way back up to the observation tower, where I took a quick picture. And you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the falls. You can see there's a rainbow created by the mist. And actually, one of the cool things was as we were driving to Niagara Falls, about 5 miles away, you can actually see the mist rising up from the falls. It's just an amazing sight. So anyway, after our jaunt at Niagara Falls, we crossed the border and went into Canada. We went to a place called Lakeside Park, and from there we could see Toronto, and there was a really cool pavilion and all these other things that were really fun and nice to see. It was just a nice little scenic afternoon jaunt. We found a really nice winery, and we sampled some local wine, had a lovely lunch, and then we made our way back to Buffalo. When we got back to the hotel, the first thing that I did was I started looking at the weather maps. I'm checking the different weather sites. One of the best sites that really helped us make a decision about what to do was one of the weather satellites. It was the GOES 16 satellite. And if you just put that in Google and go to the page, you can see the cloud cover over the United States. And it's a really great tool and helped us make a decision. Our plan initially was, if we can't stay in Buffalo, in the morning we were going to leave the hotel very early and make our way up toward the east end of Lake Ontario, which would be about a 2.5 hour drive. So we went to bed early, set the alarm for 4:30 in the morning, and by 4:45 a.m. we were in the car on the road, heading east. As we were driving, we would check the maps. We would check the satellite maps, the weather maps. And things in the Watertown area did not look good. It looked like it was going to be pretty cloudy there. Anything east of Burlington, Vermont looked really good. The timing to get to Burlington was going to be tight. So we decided on Plattsburgh, New York, just on the other side of Lake Champlain from Burlington. It took us a total of 7 hours to drive from Buffalo to Plattsburgh, where we ended up. There was only about 15 minutes of that 7 hour ride that the GPS put us on a highway. We were on I-81 for about 15 or 20 minutes. The rest of the time we were on back roads, one or two lane roads, usually one lane roads, and most of them had a 55 mile an hour speed limit. We hit zero traffic on that entire ride. The interesting thing about that ride was as we were driving, the further east we went, the more snow we were seeing on the ground. There were some really scenic parts of that ride, particularly a part maybe in about an hour outside of Plattsburgh where we started to see lots and lots of wind turbines. I'm a big fan of wind power. Once we got into Plattsburgh, we had to find a place to go to view the eclipse. We started driving down a road, and I saw a hotel. Right next to the hotel was an empty restaurant that was for rent. And I said, you know what? That parking lot looks like a really good spot. So we turned the car around, pulled into the parking lot behind an old Pizzeria Uno that was no longer in business. And when we pulled in, we noticed that there were several people that were staying at the hotel that had set up lawn chairs, and they were out. There's probably about 20 or 30 people outside the hotel, all there to watch the eclipse. So we asked if we could join them, and they were very happy to have us. As I said, I didn't bring a lot of equipment with me. I did have my solar binoculars, the Celestron binoculars, which I just love. They give a really great image of the sun, much better than you get through eclipse glasses. We had the eclipse glasses. I had a GoPro camera, my cell phone. The only other piece of equipment that I brought with me was a digital thermometer that would read out to an app on my phone so I could track the temperature during the eclipse. Once we got set up, which really didn't take long, set up the lawn chairs, one camera tripod, put the GoPro on it, and just sit back and enjoy. We were at the site for less than 30 minutes before first contact began. Now, I have to preface what the sky looked like at the site. When we got there, there was some very thin high clouds. Nothing low, nothing that looked like it would obscure the eclipse. We could see the sun perfectly fine with the eclipse glasses. It looked great. Through the solar binoculars, it looked great. So we figured this is as good as we're going to get. We waited for the show to start. At first contact, unless you're using a telescope with a solar filter on it, you're really not going to notice first contact for a few minutes. And I would say probably less than 5 minutes after first contact, you could see it with your eclipse glasses. With the binoculars, I could see it after about a minute. You could notice it. As the partial phases went along, I did shoot some pictures with my phone. They really didn't come out very good. I had tested it, and I was having a hard time getting the images really in focus. And the phone, my phone is older, and it really wasn't up to this task. But I did get a few images during the partial phase that are okay, and I'll pop those up on the screen for you. As the partial eclipse kept getting deeper, when we got to about 80% coverage, we could tell that the light was starting to change. It just had a very strange, eerie look to it. And this continued as we neared totality. At 90%, the temperature was noticeably lower, and again, that the light was very eerie in color. And it just had a very strange feel to it. Those last few minutes of the partial phase of the eclipse were so exciting. And the app that I talked about worked pretty well. It didn't work perfectly, but for the most part, it was pretty good. It did tell me when to look for shadow bands. And unfortunately, because there were clouds in the sky, especially the high thin clouds, there was no chance of us seeing the shadow bands. So the shadow bands for us were not visible. I know some people who were further east in New Hampshire and Maine where there was no clouds, and they actually did see shadow bands. But where I was, unfortunately, we did not see them. One of the coolest parts of this particular eclipse was where we were set up. We were facing toward the west, and we could see the moon's shadow as it was approaching from the distance. And it was really eerie and kind of cool to see. At first, it almost looked like a storm off in the distance. And as it got closer and closer, you could tell that it was the shadow coming. One of the things that I have in the video is some of the video that I shot from the GoPro camera. What I did was I sped that video up to compress the time. And it shows the shadow coming in. You can see when totality hits, and I do a 360 with the camera to show how the horizon looks. And unfortunately with that camera, the colors don't really come through the way that I'd like it to, and the sun itself is kind of overexposed. I had no way to make adjustments to the exposures on this particular camera. Like I said, my goal was to visually experience it, and I didn't spend a lot of time messing around with my phone or the cameras, especially during totality. Once totality hit, it got dark. The temperature had dropped. Just before first contact, the temperature was 66 degrees. At mid-totality, the temperature had dropped to 55 degrees Fahrenheit. It was noticeably colder. The sky darkened completely. Venus and Jupiter were out. You had the 360-degree sunset, and the corona was not as vibrant as it could have been because of the high clouds that we were dealing with. The corona was there, and there was a gorgeous prominence right at the 6 o'clock position on the sun that was easily visible with the naked eye. As totality continued, it was really a mesmerizing experience. At one point, I actually got emotional. It's such a moving experience. I recently heard somebody refer to total solar eclipse as saying it's the closest thing that you can get to the overview effect that astronauts get when they go up into space. It really is a way to get some real perspective of our place in our solar system and the universe. And to stand there under the shadow of the moon in darkness, we saw lights come on across the street. The lights on the hotel, suddenly the windows were lit up in the hotel from the lights. It was just a very surreal, amazing experience. And you know, once totality hits, people start cheering, they're clapping, they're getting excited, they're pointing things out. It's such an exhilarating experience. The sad thing is, before you know it, it's over. Where we were, we had 3 minutes and 33 seconds of totality, and it went quick. It was worth every second, but it went quick. At the end of totality, we saw that diamond ring come out. It was time to put the glasses back on, so we did that. And after a few minutes, we decided, you know, we really better pack up and hit the road because everybody's talking about the traffic. Well, let me tell you, everybody was right about the traffic. We left probably about 10 minutes after totality ended. And within minutes, we got onto I-87 heading south back toward New Jersey. Within 2 minutes of getting on that highway, the traffic began. Now, from Plattsburgh to where I live is a little over a 4-hour drive normally. It took us well over 8 hours to get home that night. We drove and drove. And the first leg of that trip, thankfully my wife did the driving and I navigated. And as we were driving, we ended up getting off the highway, taking some back roads, which were slow as well. We tried to stop at a restaurant for dinner. They couldn't seat us. It was an hour wait. We were not going to deal with that. So we got back on the road and kept going back roads as far as we could until we got back to I-87 and got back on the highway. About 4 hours after totality ended, we were still pretty far upstate in New York. We hadn't even hit Albany yet. If you know New York State, from Plattsburgh to Albany is not really that far. We ended up stopping at a Burger King, which is not my choice, but we were tired and hungry. We got home a little after midnight on the morning of the 9th, and we were pretty wiped out. It was a lot of time. We had spent 15 hours in the car that day. The traffic really was an absolute, absolute nightmare. I have friends that were in Vermont that were driving from Burlington, Vermont to central Massachusetts, and I made it home before some of them. We lucked out. It could have been a lot worse. I know that people who stayed in Buffalo did not get to see totality. It did get dark in Buffalo, but the clouds were pretty thick and obscured the view of totality. I know that there were brief glimpses of it in Niagara Falls, which was a little north of the center line. We had planned this so we were going to get 3 minutes and 45 seconds of totality in Buffalo. We ended up with 3 minutes and 33 seconds in Plattsburgh. But again, it was worth it. Yeah, we lost 12 seconds, but we got to see it. We saw the corona. We saw the prominences. We saw Venus. We saw Jupiter during the day. We saw day turn to night and night turn back to day. And it was just the most fun and exhilarating thing. One of the first things that went through my mind is, when's the next one? The next one that's really feasible is probably going to be in 2026, where the path will go through Greenland, Iceland, and then cross the Iberian Peninsula, covering parts of Spain. And that may be the best place to go as far as long-time forecasts go. So before we close out the episode, I want to remind you that the What's Up in the May 2024 Skies episode will be out in about a week. And just in closing, there's no words that I can say that really describe what experiencing a total solar eclipse is like. I can't describe it. I can try to put it in words that convey some of the feelings that you feel. Total solar eclipse really is a breathtaking spectacle, and it offers more than just its stunning visual effects. It really evokes a sense of wonder and awe, and it captivates observers with its celestial beauty. As the moon perfectly aligns with the sun, it creates a momentary darkness in the middle of the day. It sparks a deep sense of awe about the universe and our place within it. This fleeting event leaves an indelible impression on anyone who witnesses it. It stirs emotions of astonishment and reverence. And the beauty of a total solar eclipse is more than just its visual appeal. It really serves as a reminder of the awe-inspiring wonders that lie beyond Earth. It helps us to contemplate our place in the cosmos, and it fosters a connection to the vastness and grandeur of the universe. In closing, a total solar eclipse is a fleeting yet profound experience that leaves an enduring mark on the hearts and minds of those fortunate enough to behold its splendor. I hope that you got to enjoy the eclipse, and if not, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you found our time together to be fun and helpful. If you have questions or episode suggestions, please email us at astroguypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a text or a voicemail at 973-404-0380. If you're not already a member, please join the Astro Guy Podcast group on Facebook. You'll find other members, videos, blogs, and lots of other useful information there for your enjoyment. You can also visit our YouTube channel, The Astro Guy Podcast, for past episodes and other surprises. Please subscribe. Please consider leaving us a review on your podcast platform. It helps us to get new listeners. Thank you again for listening, and may your skies be clear. As always, carpe noctem, seize the night.
I'm Wayne Zuhl, and this was the Astro Guy Podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, your questions, comments, and suggestions are welcome. Keep wondering. Keep your eyes on the sky. Have fun. Carpe noctem. Seize the night.